We're going to do things just a little bit different tonight. It's Father's Day, and wanted to change things up just a little bit. And so I have asked our church staff to do something special for us this evening. And that is, I've asked each member of our church staff to share with you their favorite memory of or with their father. Okay? Their challenge is to share their favorite memory of or with their father. And Brother Kelly Roach is going to be the first to share. Brother Kelly, you come and you share your favorite memory.
Well, when Brother Doug asked to do this, I got to thinking a little bit. I have a lot of favorite memories of my father, of the times that he spent with me. Most of them were with him standing behind a thing like this in various different churches and preaching God's Word. I have a lot of memories of my father doing that, and I'm very grateful for that. I have a lot of memories of him taking a belt off and wearing me out, probably more times than I care to count. And I'm thankful he did that. There's a lot of times that we don't do that anymore, and that's I'm glad my dad was one of those men that did that. Even though I did not agree with it at the time, I'm still don't really agree with some of it. But yeah, those are memories, and I'm thankful for those memories. Okay, but I do you know I cherish memories of Dad bringing me to church. I cherish memories of Dad teaching me about God and standing up for what he believed in, whether people agreed with him or not. But one of the fondest memories I have of my father is when he would go out in the yard and just play catch with me, baseball, until he got done. And it wasn't because he was done playing catch with me. It was done because he couldn't feel his hand anymore, and he'd just turn and go back inside. He wouldn't say anything. He'd just leave, and I knew that I'd probably throw him one too many too fast. But I do appreciate the time that my father spent with me. Not necessarily in church, not necessarily in home, but the time that my father spent with me doing things that I thought were important. Even though that they may not have amounted to a hill of beans, my father loved me enough that he would spend time with me doing things that I saw as important. And I want to thank him for that. Love you, Dad.
One of the things I remember about my dad, we camped. We had millions of times we went camping. We went hunting and fishing about every Saturday. There was so much fun we had together, but I think the time that I think of him the most was right when I was about 3 years old. We moved to Watson Chapel. Mom and Dad had just bought a brand new house or had one built. Because it cost a little bit more, their finances were very tight. My mom's dad, my grandpa Blake, told Dad to take Mom off his insurance. That would save some money there. So Dad did that. Within 6 months, my mom had a brain tumor. They did a lot of... they treated her. Back then you used cobalt. They did surgery on her. Dad was up there. He would take me of a morning to his parents. And I don't know how early it was because, I mean, it was dark when I got there of a morning. Then a lot of times he'd either go to work or most of the time he'd go up to hospital because after they did everything, they said that my mom only had 6 to 8 months to live. And then the car was old, so he had to get something with air conditioning. So went further in debt and bought a brand new, I think it was a brand new 63 Ford, and something more reliable to get her to the hospital. A lot of people were praying for her. And make a long story short, God bless us. She lived another 46 years. And this is another story about her impact on me coming to know Christ. But the thing with Dad was, he was up to his eyeballs in debt. You know, back then, 75 cents an hour, and a bill was $6,000. And if it hadn't been for one man, it had been Pearson, Dad would have lost his job because everybody else wanted to fire him because he was gone so much. And here you got a kid, and after Mom had all those treatments, everything was different. You know, she couldn't have any more children, and you know, so never had brothers or sisters or anything like that. But the one thing about my dad was he didn't quit. There's a lot of men that would have just walked off with the responsibility of saying, hey, I don't need this. This is too much baggage. But I learned not to quit. They slowly started trying to pay all that off. And even though we grew up poor still, all the camping trips, all the fun times I had, like I said, being an only child, Dad was sort of like my brother and my dad. And I remember one time he came back from police academy and he was going to show me all of his techniques. So we ended up basically fighting on the front yard, you know, and my skills against his skills and all that. And so there was so much fun. When I got married, I got to thinking, who do I need to have as my best man? And I thought, no one earns that more than what my dad did. So we had tons of fun. But the thing that I admire him the most, he stuck with his vow, till death do you part. He honored that vow no matter what happened. And I think that's where I get a fighting instinct in me. And I'm just thankful that I had a father that loved me as much as what he did.
Favorite memory of my dad. Love my dad. My dad is my hero, has been. He was a groomsman in my wedding. Wasn't my best man, but he was a groomsman. Love my dad. Things I remember about my dad, he was a workaholic, still is. We worked on the farm. Those weren't good memories. Those were just hard memories. I mean, he taught me what it means to have a good work ethic. But anyway, Brother Doug asked me to come up with a favorite memory about my dad. And it actually involves sort of Russellville. We lived in Des Arc, Arkansas, Prairie County. And when I was, I don't know, I must have been 7 or 8 years old, my grandfather decided he wanted to go turkey hunting for the first time. So we loaded up a camper, me and Dad and Granddad, and we drove for 2 days to get to Russellville from Prairie County. I was 7. It took 2 days to get here. It's only about an hour and a half. But anyway, took about 2 days to get here, and then we went north another, you know, half a day to Pelser, a sand gap, which is only about 25 miles from here. But anyway, it took forever to get there, and we went turkey hunting. And I remember Dad taught me how to build a campfire, and I learned how to melt those IBC root beer bottles on a stick over the fire. Loved doing that. But that was, we had a great fun. We didn't kill any turkeys, but we had a lot of fun. We stayed there for about 3 days. And the next year, we wanted to come back again. And I was very excited because I found out there were big vines you could swing across creeks and stuff. And anyway, it was a lot of fun. And so the next year, we came back. And my grandfather had got, I don't know, he had built a camper in the bed of his truck for our second year turkey hunting. It was like there was a bed. That was basically it. But anyway, he'd built this camper. And so we drive all the way up here another 2.5 days to get here. And we were sleeping in that camper in the back of my granddad's truck. And my grandfather was over here and my dad was right here. And they both, this was prior to CPAP machines. And they both snored horribly. It was so bad. I always wondered why, as a kid, my grandmother and grandfather had separate beds in different rooms. Well, that was why, because Granddad snored so bad. Well, this night, my dad had him beat. I mean, my dad was making that whole thing shake. And I'm 8 years old, and I sat up in the middle of the night, and I'm looking. And Granddad's, and then Dad's sitting over, and it was terrible. And I thought, all that sound's coming out of his nose. So if I close his nose, that sound will stop. So I'm an 8-year-old little boy. I reached down and I grabbed my dad's nose. And it stopped. And then
just a couple minutes later, didn't seem like it's very long at all, he comes up, and hits his head on the top of the camper thing. He said, what's going on? I said, well, Dad, you were snoring. He said, what'd you do to me, boy? I said, well, I stopped you from snoring. I just pinched your nose. He said, I dreamed I was drowning and I about died. And I came up and you're sitting there holding my nose. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. That was one of the funniest memories of my father. Anyway, still love my dad. Got to spend last week with him at church camp. Great man. He's 70 years old now. Still working hard. Don't know how long I'll have him with me, but man, there's something special about a dad.
All right, well, it's my turn. But before I do, we talked a little bit earlier, and we think here in a couple weeks we need to have the Victory Quartet Convention, okay? Which means you're going to get to participate. I want you guys out there to grab a quartet and get a quartet together. I don't care how many. It could be three or four quartets. Just grab somebody, get a quartet together, and present a special. I'll get one together, and we'll do a few, okay? But here in a couple weeks, that's July 2nd. We'll do the Victory Quartet Convention. I need your help, okay? I need your participation. All right, Doug asked us this afternoon to talk about our dads, and just trying to narrow one thing down, talking about my dad was kind of tough. There's so many things that I remember. One of my favorite things is him telling stories about growing up with, he was the oldest boy, but yet he was number 3 out of 13. And just telling stories about how that worked, you know. One of my favorite things was him saying the hardest thing was when we went to church is everybody finding a pair of shoes that matched and getting out of the house and maybe leaving my Uncle Eddie on the back seat or the back pew asleep because he had fallen in church, and them getting home and counting and Eddie wasn't there, and so them rushing back to the church and getting him, and so many stories about that. And of course being they were poor, really poor, and so he had to hunt a lot, and so he got pretty good at hunting, and so he would take me hunting. And I remember one of the things that was so much fun about that is him teaching me how to walk quietly in the woods. And something now my kids know about this because I'm like, you walk where I walk, okay? Because that was something my dad would always say, you walk where I walk. And that way he knew what to step on, how to walk without breaking a limb and everything. You know, movement's not the big deal sometimes, or sometimes sound is not a big deal, but movement is, you know. And so, you know, walk where I walk. And so I learned to walk in his footsteps. And, you know, I remember those days, you know, I would do that. Dad, how am I doing? Am I doing good? You bet, son. But those are the memories, is him trying to instill in me some of the things that I guess he had learned growing up, and the things that were important to him, and the skills that he learned that I get to pass on to my kids, to walk where I walk so that you don't break a limb, scare the deer off, okay?
As I said, I don't want to do things, or I do want to do things just a little bit different tonight. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to a scripture. I'll read the scripture to you in just a moment. But it is a day that we honor our fathers. I think it's very appropriate. And thank you, gentlemen, for sharing memories, your favorite memories of your father. And as I listened, the thought come to mind, why? Why? Kelly, you mentioned how it was special to you that your dad took time to play baseball with you. And to spend time, you know, just spending time with you. And how special that was. Why did he do that? Ken shared that his father had to work so very hard. He never quit. And taking care of his mom and seeing his commitments through. I have the same question. Why did he do that? Why? Michael, my question for you is, why did your dad not kill you? No, in all seriousness. Again, special memories. Your dad and your granddad, I knew them both. Spending that time in the woods with those guys, it was great. But why? Why did they take the time with you? It wasn't to kill turkeys. I can believe that. And Dale, your dad passing along his hunting skills to you, that's pretty special. Walk where I walk. That'll preach, brother. That'll preach. But why? Why do dads do those things? And I have the answer. Because that's what fathers do. That's what real fathers do. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. And as I listened and was very blessed by what you shared, I want to share a scripture that Jesus shared with you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, he said, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, who will give him a stone? Or what if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent?" You know, I want to tell you, wearing the title of dad is a special thing. And you do. You want to give to your children. You want to give to your grandchildren. You want to, you know, spend that time and pass along the things that you know, because that's what fathers do. But the bottom line is, the reason that's what fathers do is love. You know? It's because we love. But I want to finish that scripture that I shared with you just then. It didn't stop with, you know, you taking care of your children. It went on to verse 11, Matthew 7, 11. And it says, "If you then," that's me, dad, father, grandfather, y'all, fathers, grandfathers, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, grab this, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Our love pales in comparison to the love that the Heavenly Father has for you and for me and for all of us present. And when you look at it, you know, being a parent really gave me a new perspective in my relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, and my Heavenly Father. It let me start to feel what God must feel like when I let Him down, you know. It kind of reminded me of what God must feel like when I disregard what God says, you know. It kind of put me in those shoes. And I thank God that in spite of my many imperfections and my many failures and the many times that I have rebelled and just simply said, "I'm going to do what I want to do," my Heavenly Father has still loved me. And He never gave up on me. And I want to tell you about that love. That love was demonstrated as God the Father gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for my sin so that I could live for eternity. Now listen, we love one another, right? But how many of us are ready to sacrifice one of our children so that somebody over here could live? I dare say very few. Listen, that's the kind of Heavenly Father that you and I have. And all I want you to get this one point tonight that if you are a child of God, how very blessed you are. I look around and, you know, I had a grandbaby in services this morning. You know why I had that grandbaby? Because God the Father has blessed me. I look around and I have a wife that's with me. And you know why I have a wife? Because God the Father has blessed me. I have a wonderful church family that I enjoy Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know why I have a wonderful church family? Because God the Father has blessed. Everywhere I look, I see the hand of my Heavenly Father. But I must admit, the greatest blessing happened to me a long, long time ago when I was 8 years old and I got down on my knees knowing that I was a sinner and could not help myself. And see, that's really what fathers do. When you can't help yourself, or when kids can't help themselves, here comes the Father. And I want to tell you, a revival service, White Oak Missionary Baptist Church, 46 years ago, I got on my knees and I cried out to my Heavenly Father and asked Him to save me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you want to know what? My Heavenly Father came to my rescue. He, and I love my father. My earthly father's a good man. But I want to tell you, there's not a father alive anywhere that can match my Heavenly Father. Do you know Him? If you do, I challenge you. I challenge you. Take today. And let's take a moment during this invitation and let's thank God for the awesome Father that He is. Let's thank God for every blessing. I had one other scripture I was going to share with you. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." You see, God's a Heavenly Father that you can always count on. You're never alone. And you're never out of options when you belong to God. I want to ask that every head be bowed, every eye closed. And we are going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm going to invite you to come forward to receive the salvation that God the Father has offered. But right now, I want to talk to those of us who are saved, who know our Heavenly Father and know the sacrifice that He made by giving His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did that for you. That's a Father who came to your rescue. Okay, and right now I ask you to bow your head and say, "Thank you, Heavenly Father." And join me in that prayer of thanksgiving. Our Father in heaven, You are a good, good God. You are an awesome Father. That when we were helpless, unable to do for ourselves, You came to our rescue by sending Your Son Jesus, the sacrifice for our sin. Lord, I cannot imagine the pain and the sorrow that You must have experienced by watching Your Son in agony upon that cross. Oh, but Lord, I praise You. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for loving us enough to give the life of Jesus on our behalf. And tonight, we just want to worship You and say thank You. For Lord, You never change. There is no shadow of turning with You. In You, we have all we need. So Lord, we say thank You. And we offer our praise, our worship, and our thanksgiving because You are worthy. In Jesus' name I pray.